Welcome, one and all, once again to Duel Wielding episode 132. Joined this week by Martin.
Hello.
And Daniel.
Seek a way out.
Unlike last week's show, we are actually going to do impressions this week because I don't believe we're on a time crunch. I should have asked that before we began. But since you weren't here last week, Martin, what have you been playing?
I played and finished South Park, The Stick of Truth.
And what's that?
I have to say, I really enjoyed that game a lot. It's not the deepest or longest RPG. For me, I think it was like 10 hours long. But the basic gameplay is really fun. And it kind of is like a playable season of South Park. I mean, it looks like South Park. The jokes basically all hit. There weren't really any stinkers. And there was just some really amazing stuff happening. And the core gameplay is kind of like in the Mario RPG games, but with more abilities, I would say. And of course, they are all like based on South Park stuff. So, they, for example, if I have Cartman in my party and he has a move called Magic Missile. And that, of course, is a gag based on Dungeons and Dragons, where Magic Missile is like your basic magic spell. And what he does is he throws out, like, used tampons and stuff at enemies to gross them out, which is basically grossing people out is like poisoning people in South Park. So they vomit and stuff and lose health. Yeah, it's really good. I can only recommend it, to be honest. I don't know if I would say it's worth it full price because of how short it is for an RPG, but if you don't mind that, I would say it's worth full price.
But see, I would buy it, but I'm not. South Park's humor is like, there are times where it's really clever and I really enjoy that, but most of the time it's just like dumb toilet jokes and I don't. That's not my kind of thing.
It's both, as always. South Park is always the clever stuff mixed with the dumb toilet
and,
stuff.
And I can't, like, a lot of the dumb toilet stuff, I can't. It's not my thing. So, you know, I would buy it if it wasn't for that. But, you know, if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't be a South Park game. And it's nice to see they actually made a good South Park game for the first time ever.
I mean, it's made by Obsidian, so there was, of course, there's some pedigree there.
And I think what makes this one the best South Park game easily is they sort of made a game around South Park instead of South Park around a game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was curious about that, though. How much of the humor, because a lot of South Park's charm, at least with the animated series, is that it tends to be extremely topical, which I assume isn't an easy thing to do in a video game because of the long development cycle. So how much of the humor is kind of topical, or is it just kind of broad, like video game stereotype? I don't know, stereotypes not in a negative way, but just kind of...
I guess it's topical in the sense that they don't really pick up stuff that's really recent. And there is, of course, some video game parodying going on there, and some commenting on video games and such. I can't really break stuff down now specifically because I also don't really want to spoil gags or anything, but they are not trying to be too topical. Like recent topical. It's stuff that should basically always work.
Okay. Yeah, which I guess is the other thing with video games is it's an animated series, and you do get to watch them and go back, but even when South Park started, replays weren't a huge thing. You could see them once or twice and move on. Now with like Netflix and DVDs, you can kind of have a show that continues to live on beyond its initial air date, but video games do tend to have to be you can't, again, you know, this game was in development for, what, 3-4 years? So you can't really have humor that would have been funny 4 years ago in this game now.
Yeah. I mean, they go to some of their usual stuff, and some of it is like callbacks. I mean, they have the usual Al Gore jokes in there. but kind of extend them because of how the game is structured with you gain friends on Facebook and stuff like that. So basically, I can give one thing away. Basically, you have to do a quest for Al Gore, and I'm not going to say what that is involved, but at the end of the quest, you get Al Gore as a friend on Facebook, but then he starts spamming your Facebook wall, and then you try to get rid of him as a friend, and then you fight him.
Sounds pretty cool, actually.
So all the friends you get basically on a regular basis post stuff on your wall, and as soon as you get Al Gore, he's just spamming the shit out of it.
I was gonna say, how much of a fan of Star Trek, South Park are you?
I really like South Park. I've seen everything South Park, and I still watch South Park.
Okay, so I was gonna ask how much of this is for somebody who...
If you really don't like South Park, this game is definitely not for you.
Okay. Well, I'm a huge fan of South Park. I was just, you know, putting it out there in case somebody...
Which is why I won't buy it, because I'm not that much of a South Park fan.
If you have just fallen off and not have seen recent seasons or something, then I think you can still get into it, because of how they... don't get into too much recent stuff. If you've seen, like, I think the first four seasons or something, you would be totally fine.
Okay. What have you been playing, Daniel?
I bought a little DS game called 999. I waited like 3.5 weeks for it to come, and it finally came. And it's been my kind of couple of hours before bed kind of thing, because it's nice and relaxing. You don't have to think that much, at least I don't. I like how logical the puzzles are. It's a VN, it's kind of dark actually, it's very grim. I've only gotten one of the endings so far, and I got one of the, I don't know how many bad ones there are, but I got a bad ending, and I was like, whoa, that escalated very quickly.
I think there are like 5 different bad endings, if I remember correctly.
Well, there's only 6 endings in total, so that's a lot of bad endings.
Yeah, most of them are bad. There's only one good ending, to be honest.
I kind of spoiled, like, some of the series lore for myself, which is kind of bad. I wish I hadn't done that. But there are things that I now know about 999, which I should... not 999, Virtue's Last Reward, that I really regret looking up and finding out about. But otherwise, you know, the story is... really, really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, given how simple the premise is, it actually kind of gets pretty deep, and I'm really enjoying it. I can't actually wait to finish all of the endings so I can move on to Virtue's Last Reward, and then I can be sad at the death of the fucking series, which is just typical.
So, to be honest, I think I was actually shocked how good the story is of these games, because... I honestly think most visual novels stories are kind of garbage.
Yeah, a lot of them seem to be phoned in, or they're just like your typical dating sim thing.
Yeah, but these games are really good when it comes to story stuff.
Yeah,
they can sometimes get a bit overboard with things, but overall they're really good.
It's just a shame that, like, as soon as I actually get into the series, they cancel the finale. That's just ridiculous. I can't believe that.
It's still worth it, though.
Worth it. I haven't played much else, actually, other than Planetside 2. I don't know if I've mentioned that I was playing that a couple of weeks ago, but if I haven't, I'll be playing Planetside 2. I've been enduring the very boring, annoying moments of it so I can get to those very magical parts. There are parts where I just think, I'm playing it and I'm just like, there is no other game like this. Why is this game not more popular than it is? Hmm. And then the next day, I'll go, oh yeah, that's why it's not as popular as it should be, because it takes a lot of patience to get to the good bits. Other than that, I don't think I've really been playing anything. I have Titanfall on pre-order now, so that's the end of that saga. I shall. So next week I'll actually have something new to talk about, not something
exciting,
that came out. Yeah.
The most exciting saga ever: Daniel and his quest not to have Titanfall.
Yeah.
I heard something today in a podcast that got me really excited about Titanfall.
Oh?
Kind of. I heard about, like, something to the extent of, like, boss mobs.
Oh, yes, yes.
During games. I didn't know that before, but
there's, like, a couple of maps of, like, these some dinosaur things that you might encounter, so that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I haven't been playing anything. Oh no! Actually, I lie. I've played the beta for Broforce, which is a very fun, very cool 2D. It's like a 2D action platformer, I guess, where basically your entire goal is to kill everybody in the level and then get to the end. But it's very good. It basically takes all of, I'd say, 80s movie like action heroes. They're not 80s because there's Blade and there's Machete and all the like Blade, Machete. There's MacGyver. There's the Terminator. There's Conan. There's
basically all the action heroes you can think of.
Yeah, basically all the action heroes you can think of, and they all have their own special abilities. Like for example, the Terminator. He turns into the Terminator, and he's basically invincible for that period of time. Machete just throws machetes everywhere. Chuck Norris has Chuck Norris that has a grenade that brings in a airstrike, and it's very cool, and it's actually kind of tough as well. So if you like tough platformers, it's something you should at least look at.
I've seen it before. It looks really fun.
Yeah,
it's still open. Early access, right?
Yeah, it's not in early access on Steam yet, but if you buy it on the Humble Store, you can play it now.
But it's not done. Right?
But it's not done. Yeah, I saw it was published by Devolver Digital a few weeks ago, and I was like, okay, yeah. I'll buy that now. Because I love pretty much everything that Devolver Digital release.
Yeah, Devolver has some really cool stuff. But I'm really interested in it, but I will probably wait until it's done.
I don't blame you for that.
Isn't multi-platform?
It's PC, Mac, Linux, yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
I was going to ask, and does it have a plot?
No.
Like, is there a story to it?
No, there's no story to it.
Okay.
Like, it's just, you kill everybody on the level.
I figured as much, but...
You liberate the area by just raising a bunch of US flags in the level, and sometimes you'll get a big boss that you have to shoot down.
Do you know who's making it?
It's a newish indie company called Feel Happy, I think.
Okay.
I'm not too sure on the name, but they're a newish company anyway, so...
Yeah, I haven't heard of them before.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't had the chance to talk about Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze on the show yet. I got that, I picked it up, I beat it in 2 weeks since we talked about games, I guess, on here.
I heard it's tough.
I guess it is. I mean, I'm not gonna be one of those, oh, I beat it and it was so simple. I died my fair number of times, but I always thought it was fair. And that when you died, it was just kind of like I could have made that jump, or you know, I just didn't, you know, the reflexes to get done in time. Or I didn't have the momentum. Part of it, and I think this kind of goes more with the vehicle stages, the rocket barrels and the minecarts, part of it is kind of a trial and error type deal where you just have to know what's coming ahead so you can stand, and that, I guess, would be unfair, but I never had any problems with them, I guess, because I've gotten used to them in the Donkey Kong games. And you usually get enough room that you can kind of see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, okay, just to start it off, I think the real star of this game is the music. The music is absolutely fantastic in this game.
Is it not done by a rare guy? Right?
David Wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's just fantastic. There are some amazing tracks, and they really don't use many of them over again, which is surprising. Maybe that's why this game is almost 12 gigs, but...
It's 12 gigs?
Yeah, it's like 11 and a half or something like that.
Bloody hell, that is massive.
Well, it's massive for Nintendo, it's not so massive anymore.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, when you consider something like Dead Rising in a 13 gig patch, which technically makes it bigger than
I still think that's big because, like, the entirety of Borderlands 2, including all its DLC, is 11 gigs. And Borderlands 2 is not a small game, in terms of content, so. Yeah, that's kind of surprising, especially considering that's, like, what, almost half a Wii U's capacity built in?
Well, I mean, if you have a Deluxe, it's all of the. You can't fit it on a basic.
Yeah.
Which is part of the problem I have with it. I wanted to go digital with this game because it's one of those games I don't think I'm going to own out or, you know, anything, so. And you get the 10% back from Nintendo and add 20% off for eShop gift cards and a bunch of other stuff, so. And then it's like, oh, this is going to eat up any remaining space to have on this system, so. It's pretty much this. I ended up having to buy an external hard drive this week just so I can have something. Because I ended up buying something like $220 worth of eShop gift cards.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we had 20% off. And basically, between 20% off and gift cards, I ended up spending like $105. So it's like half off video games for a while on the Wii U or the 3DS. And I can work with that, especially since the 3DS I have enough room for. The game is, if you've played Donkey Kong Country Returns, it's pretty much that. There isn't a ton different about it, which isn't a bad thing. There's only one other game. It's not like Mario doesn't control the same or anything like that. I would say, and this kind of gets into spoilers, but it's a platform, I'm sure you care about it. The most interesting thing to me was World 6, or Island 6 as they want to call it, which basically has you go through levels from the first game that have aged up, so you get to see that this is like a different breathing world, and now that you have different types of enemies invading, it gives a whole new aesthetic to those old stages, and it's a really nice touch to kind of go through them and see elements from the first game and how they've aged or decayed or frozen or broken down.
Actually, all those things, that's one of the things that I watched the newest Final Bossman the other day, and that's one of the things that he brought up, is that like all the platforms are attached to something, so you can tell that the platforms actually exist in a world with context and stuff. Like when you walk into an enemy, they actually turn around and hit you instead of just you die or you lose health. They actually hit you, which is really cool. Actually, the amount of attention to detail Retro put into it is very, very impressive.
Yeah, I will say, I have always thought that Nintendo has done a good job of the little details in this game, is no exception. And it's sometimes it's little details that add nothing to the game whatsoever as far as, like, your actual control. Like, somebody pointed out this week, there's a stage where, like, there's a penguin who's chasing you in the background. Like, he doesn't interact with you during the game. And at the end of the stage, he gets eaten by one of the creatures. It adds nothing to the experience whatsoever as far as you go. But it's this amazing little detail in the background. And it's a very ivy backdrop, which is amazing because it doesn't need to be. And in a lot of ways, it works into the game. They work it into the game aesthetic sometimes. Like, there's one level where you have penguins who are using, like, a trumpet. And those trumpets have, like, things that they blow. And that's what you're platforming on. So you have to jump on those while they're blowing it. So that, you know, you can sync up with your next jump and stuff like that. There's others, and I said this before, I already think Nintendo doesn't feed their staff members. There's a stage that's set on Jello, and each type of Jello has a different jump ability and stuff like that. And then the next stage you go to is like a fruit factory, so that's chopping up fruits and stuff, which is awesome. Except that becomes your hazard, because you have to navigate around it so it doesn't chop you. Or when it's drilling a hole into a grapefruit, you have to use that as your new platform and stuff like that. It's a bunch of very intricate things. In the game, I just seem random and crazy, but they do make it work. And they give kind of a theme, but it's not kind of a, like, okay, everything's going to be a water stage here, so it's like all the same water stage. Like, you have a water stage where you're being a giant octopus, you have a water stage where you're kind of silhouette, trying to get away from it. So there's a ton of variety in this game. I want to say depressing week in gaming, but I guess if you combine the last 2 weeks. I guess we'll start off with all the negative news first, and the biggest negative news of the week is Disney Interactive saying off 700 people, or about a quarter of their work staff.
That's a lot.
They have a lot of people working on video games.
Yeah, I did not realize they had that many today off. That was my initial reaction. It's a lot of people, but I didn't know they were that big. That's nearly 3,000 people.
I'm going.
No, I was just saying that. I mean, I guess part of it is, again, if you don't look at it, if you don't kind of follow their mobile and internet gaming, it probably wouldn't make any sense, because the only game that recent memory, if I'm mistaken, is Disney's Infinity.
Yeah, but even I see some of the mobile stuff popping up, but I still wouldn't think that it's so big.
They don't make that many mobile games, really.
Well, I honestly don't know. It's just really weird that they had such a huge staff number, but they have to be making some. Well, maybe they weren't making something, which is why they closed them down. And I think two studios got closed down. I don't remember their name. I mean, I'm sure multiple studios got closed down with 700 people, but two in particular, I know. I don't remember their names, though, and that's really sad. But it happens. But yeah, I mean, it seems like, and I think Martin and I had this discussion on Gaff in another thread, that Disney just doesn't see much value in video games. At least not on that level, because people were asking, as we'll get to later on with the Batman Arkham Knight stuff, people were asking why Marvel doesn't have their equivalent of that yet, and part of it is just Disney has really scaled back their video game development in the past, not even decade, past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But also, Disney isn't a publisher.
But they were a publisher.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was the point. They scaled that back, and then they had the Firebirds, and then they... Because, wait, they just... I mean, they published Disney Infinity. Who does that? That's them, right?
Yeah, they published it themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it makes more sense... I think it would make more sense for Disney to do what they did with the Star Wars license and just farm it out to other publishers who have more money and have more experience and
I think that as well, but I would like Disney to really start caring a bit more about the quality of their titles, because look at what Activision has been putting out the last couple of years with the Marvel stuff, for example. That's just not good enough in the market right now when you have, like, the Arkham games to compare titles to.
I think the problem, and this is kind of what I said, and we'll get to this a bit later, is that the video game industry has really become high-risk, low-rewards type deal. Like, it's like, how much money do you want to invest and how much money are you going to make back off of that? Like, to them, they probably see a similar amount of sales based on crappy games that they take 10 months to make, as opposed to something. Like, the Arkham games are only a 2-year cycle, 2.5-year cycle. And I assume it's not cheap for Warner. So what's the benefit?
Well, it seems to be working for them.
Yeah, but it's not like it hurts. Marvel or Disney. I mean, the Spider-Man games still sell relatively well.
Well, it hurts them, in my view, because I'm not buying them.
it hurts from a quality standpoint, but for them, it's like how much money... Like, we've seen great games come out that don't sell well. We've seen terrible games come out and sell remarkably well.
Yeah, of course. That's always the case with...
Yeah,
no matter what, you can name books or films or something. I'm just saying, from a personal point of view... that they should really start caring a bit more about the quality of the titles.
I think they should care more about the quality of the titles, but also limit the output. Like, don't just farm whatever off to whoever because you can. Like,
yeah, but I mean, I guess the other thing would be how do you understand that? Because even with Rocksteady and Batman, there was no guarantee that it was going to be a good game. I mean, nobody knew Rocksteady's.
No, of course not. But you can. Not just farm out licenses in bulk, but be a bit more picky and maybe have some thought out pitches for games that you then can decide on.
Well, I would also say that part of that is probably up to Marvel, who probably made a lot of these licensing deals before any of the Disney stuff got in. It's the same way they did with movies, which is why they have the problem with Spider-Man and X-Men now.
Yeah, but Disney has sorted, like, have that has been the case, and Disney has done something about that, because, you know, Deadpool had to get pulled off Steam, what, 6 months after it came out? Because Disney revoked the license. So, they have the opportunity to just revoke the licenses, I think.
And it's also not just Marvel. I mean, they have more properties than just Marvel.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, for example, what did they do with Star Wars? It's not like they have been handing out a Star Wars license to multiple publishers and stuff like that. They were like, okay, EA gives us the most money, so they will do everything Star Wars. Okay.
At least with EA, like, there is a chance that we're going to get a quality game at some point. Like, they may make 2 shitty ones, but we'll get at least 1 good one.
Mm, yeah. Maybe.
if the stars align.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, if anything, they're probably going to get the Disney Infinity money and think that's good enough for them, because, like, most of that money doesn't come from video games. It comes from the sales of toys, and that's something they know. And toys, I imagine, have to be high margin. It cannot be any way those toys cost $13 to make.
But let's be honest, by most of accounts, Disney Infinity doesn't seem to be a bad game.
It doesn't seem to be a bad game, but it also doesn't seem to be an expensive game.
No, a good game doesn't have to be expensive.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's like you could do Disney Marvel, you could do Disney Star Wars, you could sell the games, you have people buy millions of dollars worth of action figures, and there you go. You don't need to have your Batman Arkham Knight moment.
No, of course not. But if they still want to invest in or, I mean, they are still licensing stuff out, then maybe look a bit more into quality.
And not only that, it doesn't mean to say that, like, once they've signed the license away to, say, Activision, that they have to completely, like, entrust Activision. They can have people that go into these studios and oversee the quality of the game and make sure that the game, you know, I mean, they have to, because, like, at some point, they can't just have people, like, fuck up Mickey's ears, you know? Because it's part of the, it's an important part of how they present the image of Mickey. So, they could do that with, you know, everything else about the game, like the gameplay and...
Yeah, but I think it's different, and this kind of goes back to a quote I heard years ago, is that you don't want businessmen making games, and usually it's not going to be the creative type that's overlooking it. It's going to be the legal department. It's going to be the people who make sure you get Mickey's ears right. Like, it can't be that wide. It can't be that big. It's going to be the people. It's not going to be like your Ed Brubaker or your Matt Fraction looking like, okay, you know, this is how you craft a perfectly good Spider-Man game, or this is how you do an Avengers game. This is the story you use. I mean, part of the reason Batman Arkham Asylum worked was they had a top-notch writer, somebody who was extremely familiar with Batman and other media, with Paul Dini, and they also had the nostalgia of the Batman animated series to draw from, because that's where a lot of the designs and the character voices came from. So yeah, it's possible, but it seems like it's going to be out of work that Disney probably doesn't want to put into it.
Which is sad. I mean, to me, that kind of devalues the license.
And I agree with you, but at the same time, it's like, if there was an example of, like, okay, we sold, like, you know, like, even Batman, the games sell, like, 5 million is so much in video games, you had some games.
Okay, let's try and get all back.
Yay! I have no idea what's going on today.
I don't know. You have a nice conversation about dating sims on the board.
Okay. And I don't want to know what's going on here either.
I'm going to tell you anyway. There's a Kickstarter for a My Little Pony dating sim. That is, and they described it as epic. Okay. And yeah.
No, I really didn't want to know what's going on here. Eddie, Anyhow, moving on to the second question. And this isn't necessarily bad news. I don't think it's bad news at all. He deserved it, but Jack Tretton stepped down as CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment of America. He's been with the company for 19 years.
He has been there since the launch of the first PlayStation. He launched the damn thing.
Yeah, I assume that he just wants to go home and rest. 20 years is a long time for to be in any company.
It seems to me like everything about it seems to me he just left on good terms. He maybe just wants to do something else, or I don't know. How old is he?
I don't know.
He was born in 1961.
So
probably a bit early for retirement, but who knows how much money he made.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, he's been there through the ups and downs and the extreme ups. He probably wanted to end on a high note. He successfully launched the PlayStation 4. He got in a position it needed to be in, and yeah, he's going out. I mean, the thing a lot of people said, and I kind of agree, is it's going to suck for Sony's E3 press conference.
Oh, definitely. He made it worth watching, basically, because he can speak business speak and it not be boring.
He comes off a bit awkward on stage, but very natural at the same time.
Yeah, and
it's just him talking.
Yeah,
that's what I get.
That's what worked. I mean, we always kind of used to complain about Don Mattrick, who always seems so fake, and like he seems like a businessman trying to sell you something.
Yeah, but he's awful.
It sounded like a dude who was there to kind of, you know, he has a very casual tone, and I guess that's what helped, because you always felt comfortable with him talking.
Yeah.
Because there's other people on Sony stage who are either awkward or they are really drunk.
I really hope they don't make Andrew House. We wish him the very best.
Exactly. I wonder now who they are going to put up there.
Yeah.
If the new guy will do it, or if they, like you said, maybe Andrew House. I don't mind Andrew House personally.
I really don't like him.
I wouldn't mind either if they put Adam Boyce there.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
He's great on stage.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's not the head of SCA, but who says that the head of SCA needs to do the whole press conference?
Yeah.
He doesn't really.
Yeah, that Adam Boyce, yeah, I could get behind that, but please not Andrew House. I don't like Andrew House.
Adam Boyce is also a really natural speaker.
Yeah.
So, and he's generally funny, so he would be cool. Or maybe the new guy will do it himself, but I don't really know him, so I guess we'll have to see.
So, speaking of Sony, I just heard that fucking Skype noise again. What the fuck is that coming from?
No, I heard as well.
Anyway, speaking of Sony, Amy Hennig, which is one of the main writers for Naughty Dog, sadly, has left. But you know, she's what made it the magic that it is now. She's no longer with the company, and some weird rumors coming around that she was forced out, which had to be debunked by the co-founders, which kind of sucks actually. Like, I don't know where that came from, but
I think it was in a story by IGN, and they had like a source.
Doesn't surprise me that it's false then. Came from IGN.
But, it might be true, it might be wrong, it might be somewhere in the middle. We don't know. You can't really know with stuff like that.
Yeah, the Naughty Dog co-founders, of course they would want to get rid of any kind of controversy surrounding it, so who knows?
Who knows? It just kind of sucks, because she was just very influential on the Uncharted series. I think, like I said, I think she made it what it is, and she is just a very good video game writer. I mean, also like Legacy of Kain back in the day was written by her, and that stuff was also just fantastic. I just hope she will continue making video games, I guess.
Yeah, I hope so. Whoever picks her up will be very, very well off because of it.
Yeah. I mean, doing great writing in big budget titles is kind of a rare thing these days.
Yeah.
So. would suck if she leaves, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if you're a good writer, you're a good writer, and maybe she will try other stuff. We don't know.
It'd be nice to see if she turns up in some kind of independent studio too. That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe she could do even more interesting stuff. We don't know. But like I said, AAA gaming is kind of in need of good writers, to be honest.
Yeah, and none. There's no better example than the return of Watch Dogs after its weird kind of hiatus all of a sudden, like a month before it was due to release.
That trailer is really cringe-worthy.
I just can't believe that, like, the game vanishes and Ubisoft comes back with, "My family was killed." Oh, great.
Yep.
Good.
One of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being a bit creative and inventive and innovative with your writing, Ubisoft.
Yep.
I mean, it's really sad, actually, because, like, I saw a demo of Watch Dogs. It was in September.
Yeah.
And I was previously kind of interested in it, and after watching that demo, I was like, "So this is just another another open world Ubisoft game, but with a gimmick that marginally differentiates itself from anything else."
What really bothered me about it is when they said why they delayed it. Because they themselves thought it was too repetitive.
Yeah, and then I was reading that actually, and I was like, and nobody thought to bring up that the story is basically the same as everything else ever.
Yeah, I mean, we already said we feared, like, on this very podcast, I think, that it might be like every other Ubisoft game. And, I mean, some of those are bad enough when it comes to repetitiveness. And if that was the case, they have delayed it. I really don't know what it was back then.
Yeah.
And who knows how much you can actually fix that.
Well, how much did... I was going to say, they said that was the reason they delayed it, but they didn't say how they were fixing it, did they?
But they only said they polished on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they just kept saying, "Oh, we polished it and make sure the systems work together." And okay, but you can have that, like, just because the game's not polished, just because the game's polished now, it doesn't mean it's not repetitive. Like,
I don't know. It might be a case we have another Assassin's Creed 1 on our hands. That game had very similar story. That it got delayed, and it turned out to still be very repetitive.
Quite possibly, and I think, I think a lot of people are sort of throwing too much behind this whole, "Oh, now the game looks worse graphically" thing. Like, for all we know, it was a trailer based on last gen.
It looks a bit worse in some cases. I think the lighting is not quite there as it was like in 2012, I think.
Yeah, it seems to be the lighting and the effects that seem to have taken a downgrade. Like, the rain isn't as heavy, it's not as reflective. Yeah. But the way people are talking about it, they make it sound like it's the worst looking game ever.
No, it's still, I think, a good looking game.
It's just not a special looking game.
Well, the thing is, the game, I don't think the game looked particularly that great anyway. I don't understand why people are holding it up as this sort of the next generation game, you know? Like, it's only because it was announced to be next gen before we knew about any of either of the next gen consoles.
Well, if you look at its initial reveal in 2012, I think it looked fantastic at that time, but now that next gen is actually already here, and you've seen PC games would kind of look better in cases,
exclusive games look better.
And exclusive games look better, even open world ones. I mean, we will have Infamous this month, which I think does look better. And yeah, it's now just not that special, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that like it comes back to this kind of reaction. Like, I just don't understand how you spend some more time making the game quote better, and instead what we get is a worse story than what we thought, and worse visuals.
To be honest, I lost interest in that game basically every time they actually showed gameplay.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think we all...
The interest level went down from presentation to presentation because it started to look more and more pedestrian.
Well, mainly because they kept showing us the same bloody things.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think we all came back from...
Sorry.
We all came back from trade shows with the same opinion that this doesn't look that special, because I think we did it last year when I did Comic-Con. I think you had GamesCon and Daniel had Eurogame. And it was kind of the same thing. It's like, what is so different about this game? Why isn't this GTA?
Yeah. Or why isn't it Assassin's Creed? This is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Not that. It's more the fact that not even Assassin's Creed, like, Far Cry 3 is a game that, you know, it just basically says, just play however you want it to. You know, Far Cry 3 is a successful open world sandbox. And I don't understand why they're going for more Assassin's Creed than they are Far Cry 3. Because the whole hacking thing, like, it has potential to lend itself very well to a sandbox type experience.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas instead, what they're just using it as is kind of you can hide in the barn car kind of thing in Assassin's Creed. Whereas that's not what people... I don't know. Is that what people want? Am I just out of tune with that?
Well, I mean, it is what people want. People are a fan of Assassin's Creed. People are a fan of GTA, so that makes sense. But you brought up another point that I was kind of curious about. This is an open-world game. They also have AAA multiplayer. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on that, because it doesn't seem like a game that would be... Like, it seems like a lot of these open-world games do that multiplayer that doesn't really that strong. Red Dead, I don't see anybody talk about GTA Online anymore.
I don't think any open world game has done multiplayer well in any form at this point.
Well, not unless they're actually built around multiplayer,
no.
And in that case, they're MMOs, so...
Yeah, basically. And these, I mean, like Red Dead and GTA, for example. I have no interest in the multiplayer of those games. I just don't think they are mechanically... they don't work well enough to be... as fun as let's say third person or first person shooters built around it, and they usually don't really use their open worldness in a way that makes it more interesting than a standard multiplayer experience.
And I don't see how you would do something like Watch Dogs and not have the multiplayer just be GTA 4's multiplayer, which is, oh, you can run around the city and do whatever you like, so long as you don't want to do anything meaningful.
Yeah.
And that is what, basically, I did it with Red Dead, and it was kind of cool, because the whole idea of kind of forming up a gang and doing stuff, but what you realize is, I guess you are in communications, everybody just kind of does their own thing, because there's no system in place to say, okay, you should all be together.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that could be fun, except, you know, like, it's kind of made for multiplayer, so, like, you'll go do your own thing and get boned, and you got nobody around you to rescue you, and then you do a mission together, and then, you know, everybody kind of spreads out anyhow. It's like a one-day thing. It's kind of fun to do. It's kind of awesome. And then you're like, okay, we're moving on. It doesn't have any longevity, and I don't think anybody's cracked the secret to that yet.
Well, people have cracked the secret to it, in a way. I mean, look at stuff like DayZ, for example.
Well, DayZ is kind. I mean, I don't know how DayZ works as a single player game, but that's
no, it isn't a single player game.
That's what I mean. it's one of those persistent online worlds where you can go on your own.
It really isn't persistent though. You just have a character that's safe.
The thing with DayZ,
and you can go from server to server.
The thing with DayZ and the thing with PlanetSide and the thing is not because. Planet Side is a kind of a similar kind of game. Those games have no story at all. It's about you crafting your own stories, and that's where the magic for those games come. And like, whereas Watch Dogs, obviously, it has a single player, so it's a game that's built around crafting a specifically written story, albeit maybe a generic one. And if you, I don't think if you try and do that and have a multiplayer in that same world, it doesn't work terribly well, because you already you have these mechanics that are tied to this story, this structured story that they tried to that they actually wrote, and you can't have that in a multiplayer game, not really.
No, of course not. My point was just that those games have kind of cracked the secret of how open world multiplayer can work when it's not an MMO.
Yeah, multiplayer open world games have to be about more emergent gameplay than anything else, and you can't have that with something like GTA or Red Dead or Watch Dogs. It has to be
At least not if you keep the same mechanics. You would probably have to basically have different mechanics for single player and multiplayer, and that just doesn't seem feasible.
Because that's my favourite thing about PlanetSide, is I could spend, like, I could spend 2 hours a day for 3 days, like, getting sick of dying and dying over and over and over again, but then there'll be this one day a week where, you know, I was in the side turret of a tank and we were crossing a precarious bridge, and then all of a sudden we got attacked by like 20 fighters and I had to shoot down the fighters because the guy on the main cannon couldn't shoot them because he was too slow, and it was basically down to me. And, you know, stuff like that where it's something that nobody really planned for, but the mechanics allowed for it to happen because it's all about player interaction with each other.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So we end on, don't waste money on senseless multiplayer. I don't know.
Well, no, I imagine they would think it probably helps sell games. I guess I was away for the start of this conversation, so I'm kind of curious. What do you think of the actual release date, the release window now?
It's fine. I actually expected May.
Yeah, it's because you don't have Rockstar's big May game this year.
It's kind of ironic that they based a lot of the marketing on Watch Dogs around GTA 5, and then they're releasing in Rockstar's normal window now.
Well, this is also why you shouldn't do negative marketing, because it does, because, you know, like, they were like, oh, 2 months is plenty of time to vacation in those
Times.
And now that's 9 months? So it's like, oh.
Maybe we might even get information about the PC version of GTA 5 before Watch Dogs comes out, which would be funny.
I mean, the release window is fine. It's not that much out in May. The only notable thing I can think of is the new Wolfenstein. But I think that's kind of it in May.
Well, there's Mario Kart, but it's a different platform.
Yeah. True.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't come out on Wii U until the end of the year, is that correct?
No, Mario Kart is out and end of... Oh, yeah.
We don't know anything about the whole different...
Let's be honest, it might not come out at all. So May is a pretty good window for them. It's also right before E3, so they have it out of the way. It's fine.
The only thing is I would be too busy playing Titanfall, I said, because I know it comes out 2 months before, but...
Yeah, but it's a game you stick with for a while, I have to say, at this point, I'm not that hyped for Watch Dogs. I guess I'll see how reviews turn out. If they are really well, turn out really well, I would still not be convinced, because I've been burned on Assassin's Creed 3. So I would basically have to wait for impressions on forums and stuff. Otherwise, I really don't know if I want to get that game.
I'm probably just going to wait for a sale, and if it grabs me after that, then maybe I'll invest in the franchise. But
Even a sale, waiting for a sale might be a good idea. Yeah. Or if I'm not sure, just wait for it to come onto PlayStation Plus, because that seems to be the thing that happens with Ubisoft games.
Oh, but when I say people do that, you say it's not a big deal. Never mind.
No, it isn't. But it isn't a big deal for games I'm not sure about, right?
Anyhow.
If I want something right away, I'm still going to buy it. But I'm not sure about Watch Dogs. That's the difference.
Moving on. Gunvolt, the new 3DS game from, I'm going to butcher his name, so I won't bother saying it.
Keiji Inafune.
There we go.
Keiji Inafune. It's not really difficult.
I'm going to butcher it, so I save myself the trouble.
You Americans and...
Hell yeah. Would you rather me say it awful so you can make fun of Americans that way?
Yes!
Anyhow...
How is that even a question?
About the game. So yes, 3DS eShop exclusive, I believe, right now. It looks... Everybody says they take Mega Man Zero. I mean, Mega Man Zero. I don't get that. I guess because it's more of a character action thing, but... And it uses big, bright sprites.
My concern is, does Keiji Inafune need to be making any more Mega Man-like games? Like, I know...
Yes.
I totally understand that he's a bit upset that Capcom stole his IP, basically, and they don't want to do anything with it, and that's his baby, but that doesn't mean he needs to make three goddamn games that are like it at the same time.
As someone who fucking loves Mega Man, yes, he does.
And they're both coming to 3DS as well. Like, I guess that's cool if you like those kind of games and you have a 3DS, but, like, why
well,
do you need two
the
of
one,
them?
For one, it's not just coming to 3DS.
Yeah, so. But, and that's it. It's like, if you have a 3DS, you're getting two of these damn games, and if you don't have a 3DS, it doesn't matter anyway, because you're already getting one of them.
I'm not seeing a problem here.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see the problem here. I mean, it's not like we are overflooded with Mega Man clones. It's not like Capcom's making Mega Man.
No, but I'm just saying that Inafune just needs to make one.
It's not the same game.
There isn't an alternative. Do you just want the one and nothing else?
Well, this is the thing, right? Is if Inafune is supposed to be the man who knows how these games play, how they're supposed to work, then, like, wouldn't it concern you if him working on two of these titles at the same time would maybe weaken both of them rather than getting one of them that's just really good?
When are both supposed to come out? One is 2015, and when is this one supposed to come out?
I don't know if they gave it... I think it's out this year.
Yeah. It probably started earlier, or it's kind of a shorter project. Also, who knows how much Inafune actually has to still be involved on the mechanical level on either of those games. I mean, you...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You basically come up with how it's supposed to work, and then you can focus on a different game.
From what it sounds like he works on the battle system for the game, and then the actual studio does all the work.
Yeah.
And right now, the battle system for Gunvolt and Mighty No. 9 don't have a similar battle system, as far as I can tell from both videos.
Yeah. So
like, they might have similar progression systems to Mega Man, but that's to be expected.
Yeah. I think it works out that way.
Yeah, and I'm sure part of the reason we're defending this is because I'm really excited. This game looks awesome. So it's Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
And I have a 3DS, so I'm all for it. And I already have Gunman Kai, so I get, I can get more of my Mega Bill.
Yeah. I can't get enough Mega Man, so I'm fine with stuff like that.
I don't know.
Capcom isn't giving me Mega Man, so.
I'll check these out, it depends on what price they are, really, because I think the sort of sweet price for eShop games is like £5, £6. Anything above that, I can't really justify. So, I mean, if the price is right, I'll check it out. But I'm not really a fan of Mega Man games anyway.
Which is fair. So you shouldn't deprive people who are fans of Mega Man games of more Mega Man games when the company.
I'm just concerned about the quality of the games. That's all. Like, one man can only do so much.
Yeah, but it's not one man. I mean, he's not creating both of these games. As far as I know, games are done by other people. He's just kind of like, okay, this would be.
Yeah, but like that one man is all that anybody gives a fuck about.
Yeah, but he is more of an ideas guy. He's not the guy who's actually doing the day-to-day work on these games, to be honest. Even on Mighty Number 9, they have a different director. Someone who worked on Mega Man before.
I mean, a great example of that would be Mistwalker, who everybody always mistakes as a development studio, when they're basically, we come with an idea and we find somebody who can make this game for us. So it's a similar thing. He comes up with a battle system, which is very reminiscent of Mega Man in some fashion, and he finds a studio who wants to make it for him. Like I said, right now the two systems don't really seem to be that much alike. The progression does, but I guess we'll see more of both of them, and maybe we can compare. But I mean, the one thing I would give you, and I don't even know if this is his fault, is like the character designs do seem to be very similar. He likes few characters. What can you say?
Yeah,
that's his character design. it's like forcing someone to drop his art style.
Yeah.
To say, hey, design different characters.
I mean, it would be nice, but okay.
Hey, Van Gogh, why don't you draw differently, paint differently?
Yeah, and I guess the last bit of news for this week, I guess I'm missing something, is Batman Arkham Knight.
Yawn.
Yeah. I think it's exciting.
I'll switch the difference. I'm excited for it because it's more Batman, but I can also understand the fact that this is the fourth game in the fifth and 5 years using the same engine.
Yeah, I haven't played Origins.
So I can kind of see why people...
So I had a count on... So for me, it's the third game.
Yeah, but even not playing Origins, though, I can kind of understand. It's kind of like why people don't get excited about Assassin's Creed. You might buy it, but are you going to be excited when Ubisoft announces it sometime soon?
No, but
and I think
to me, it's just the third game, so I'm still excited, and I'm excited because it's again Rocksteady, and what they said so far interests me.
Mainly, my problems with this, I mean, like I'm not a fan of the Arkham games anyway. I know why they are good. Don't get me wrong. They're just not my thing. It's just more the fact that. It's just another one of these fucking... It's just the cycle repeats again, where we get announcement of the game, this time before the fucking DLC for the last one is finished, by the way. We get announcement of the game, it comes with a trailer that tells us absolutely nothing about the game, apart from the Batmobile is in the game, and Batman is in the game, surprise, surprise. And then, what will happen is, in a few months' time, maybe 6 months, maybe... Maybe less. We'll get previews, and it'll just be, oh, this game plays a lot like the other ones, but this time you can drive the Batmobile around Arkham City. Okay, and then we'll get no gameplay footage, and then after that we'll get another gameplay trailer. We'll get a gameplay trailer with no gameplay footage in it, and then, you know, then maybe before, maybe a month or two before the game comes out, we'll actually get some decent gameplay out of it. Fun.
And
I
how
am
does
you,
most
I am
of that relate to the game itself?
I'm with him in this fact that I really hate CG Debutros and all that other stuff.
I do as well.
I am giving this a pass because, as we noted, this is the third game and the fourth game in the franchise. We already kind of know how it plays. I think this was more of an excite trailer than it was for, like, I mean. Like, I don't... I mean, even in the description from Game Informer, it doesn't sound like they're radically changing the battle system too much. Like,
yeah,
he's
some
given,
stuff, like chain takedown, stuff like that.
Yeah, but even stuff... stuff like that, you don't really show any... like I said before, it's a really tight rope to walk because, like, a pure gameplay trailer is also really hard to get people excited for because gameplay cut up doesn't look as pretty, and consecutive gameplay sometimes doesn't look as exciting. So it's, you have to find a middle ground between a sizzle reel and something that actually shows you the gameplay. And I don't know of any studio who has really kind of narrowed that.
I think Rockstar have nailed it.
Yeah, but yeah? Rockstar also doesn't reveal their games until, like, it's out in, like, 4 months.
And that's not a bad thing.
I'm not saying it is a bad thing, but
I think that because the way Rockstar does their marketing for the most part, especially when it pertains to GTA, is they start off with a trailer that, yes, okay, it doesn't show you anything about the game, but everything that is in the trailer is in the game, right? It's something you can go and witness in the game if you know where to go. And it gives you a somewhat expectation of what, you know, an expectation of what the story is going to be. And then the next thing they do is they wait a long time, but when they actually do something is they show you exactly what is new in the game and they explain all the new systems to you. And I think that's what everybody should do. That's the way it should be done. Whereas having a complete CG trailer that basically, I mean, yes, okay, you could say it outlines the premise for the story, but it's not something you can go and, like, that is taken from the game. It's not something that you can go and witness in the game if you know where to go. It's just pure CG.
I'm going to slightly disagree in this regard with this game, and I will fully admit part of it is because I'm a huge Batman fan, so I want to. But I would also say, like, a lot of the stuff that they're saying in the game, if I'm a preview, does seem to be stuff that's on this Spanish trailer. Stuff like being able to body a Batmobile into combat instantly, or being able to jump back into it and stuff like that. We already kind of have the concept of the villains teaming up against Batman and stuff like that. So a lot of that stuff is in the game, and it does show the battle system that you kind of get. Maybe it's a bit more flashy than you will get in the game, but I don't think this is misleading in like the tone or the look or anything like that. Like I said, I agree with you that it's misleading and the game probably won't look this good and stuff like that. But it's a battle system we know. It's a battle system we're all familiar with. It's a battle system that they don't see. Like I said, they're evolving it, but not in any meaningful manner. Like, yeah, multiple takedowns might be cool and being able to use all your gadgets might sound interesting, but it's just really just adding on to what's already a pretty great combat system. So I think they did a decent job. I agree with you. I would have liked to see more gameplay of it. I would like to see gameplay in all debut trailers, because other than that, you end up with a Watch Dogs situation, which even Watch Dogs debuted with gameplay, but 2 years later, we already seen that it's been downgraded visually, and I think thematically from what we got originally.
Well, the thing with Watch Dogs is they've marketed it too much.
And
also showing off gameplay 2 years ahead of release is kind of dumb, because, you know, in 2 years a lot of stuff can happen in game development. Basically, when they show it off, there must have been barely anything there.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I mean, I think it's something we've had a discussion about before, is ideally what is the time frame for a video game to be shown off, because it's an evolving product.
I don't think, for example, the Batman time frame is bad. I mean, this game is supposed to come out this year. Let's say it's probably going to be October or November.
Yeah.
And so, what is it? 7 months. That's fine.
That's fair.
That's fine. It's just the way, like, the fact that it's a pure CG trailer and we'll just get the normal marketing fucking spiel of the previews that don't mean anything, and then
At the same time, like I said before, part of the reason I'm giving this such a pass is because we are so familiar with it right now. I mean, I guess Rocksteady somehow breaks it completely from the previous two games they made in this franchise. I don't really, like, everybody knows what they're getting into. It's not like, if this was like a new IP or if this was a reboot or something different, where it's like, we don't know what type of system we're getting, I would completely agree with you 100%. And I agree with you 100% in general, but I think in this specific example, because it's a third game from these same studios who are building on, it's not even like it's a new engine, it's not a next-gen engine, it's an advanced version of Unreal Engine 3, So it's the same type of graphic.
Whoa. Have they even confirmed that?
Yes, they said that they were they just enhanced what their custom, like, modified version of UE3.
Okay, because I have missed that.
Maybe this time they've fixed the texture pop-in problem that UE3 tends to have.
I think at this point
it's pretty clear that it's a UE3 thing.
it's coming out this year, right?
Yes.
I think that's kind of good that they're sort of dedicated to releasing on current gen only, and it's coming out this year, because I think games like Thief maybe would have been a lot more polished had they not had to QA for 5 platforms.
Yeah.
Thief
might have ended up being a better game if it didn't have to be on last gen systems.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is they would have had way more time to do whatever it is they needed to do to make Thief a good game.
I just don't mean QA though. Like, problems the game have with small environments, stuff like that.
Well, QA's a two-way street, right? You have the people that are doing the testing and you have the developers that need to fix shit, so...
Yeah, but QA doesn't tell anyone to, hey, maybe these environments should be bigger.
No, but they would have had to spend way more time on QA. Anyway, this is... I think it's ballsy that they're doing it for next gen, current gen only. Should I say it's not next gen? I think it's the right decision, because it's another push to get people to buy in current gen systems.
Which, as we know at this point, are selling well, and titles like Thief, quality aside, have shown that the current gen version sell way better.
I think the faster uptake on the current gen systems, the better, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So. I still disagree with that, but we're not getting into that discussion right now. I will say this much, what just got frightened me about this game is that they said that the open world is like 3 or 5 times bigger than it was in Arkham City. And one, I hate when they say that, because I hate a bigger city, because even in Arkham City, it wasn't that exciting to begin with. And I get that you can drive around in the Batmobile. That doesn't make it any more exciting.
Well, this is it, right? Is GTA 5 has the same problem, where they made it, like, GTA 4 felt kind of small, but they made it much bigger in 5, and instead it just feels diluted.
Yeah, it just feels really sparse, and because not everything's happening and stuff. So when they say it, it always frightens me. And the other thing is, we've seen 2 games, and it could have been the systems they're on. They don't do open world that great on this engine right now. You get long load times, you get very barren environments. They already seem to be making an excuse for why people aren't on the streets in this game.
I love how, like, that was the biggest concern that I've actually seen, is, are there people on the streets in this game or not? And it's like, well... What does it matter? Like, if it's a Batman game, they're not going to give you a way of killing people, are they?
No, it's not like the people on the streets in open world games are that intelligent. They see a car driving down the side of the street and they stand there anyhow drinking their coffee.
Well, and this
is it. And they get -15 karma points when you run them over and sleeping dogs.
In GTA, the people that walk on the street are just another method for them to... for Rockstar to give you their ham-fisted satire of American culture. So I don't understand why it's that necessary, why it's that much of a concern. Like, as if they put stuff in the environment that makes it feel like there is stuff to do and it's all appropriate, then who cares if there's no people walk around?
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair to Batman, I mean, most of the time he operates between like midnight and like 5 a.m., most people aren't on the streets at that time of the day anyhow. Except for the crazed, the criminals, and the drunkards. But yeah, I think even in Detroit, they were like, they're telling people to get off the streets, and that's like, okay, so they're gonna, like in Batman Arkham Origins, they had like some type of announcement that everybody should stay indoors because of the threat on Christmas Eve, so that was why they had empty streets and they're doing it again. So I don't mind. They give an excuse, even if it makes no sense whatsoever, or if it's not needed. I don't get the point of needing people in the streets. It's not like Batman's going to beat up a citizen.
No. He really isn't.
So, yeah. Oh, and the exciting thing is Kevin Conroy's back as Batman in this game. No?
That's kind of good. I think I quite, because I don't.
Yeah.
Like I think Kevin Conroy. Yeah, he is. He is the yeah. I think Kevin Conroy is kind of the Batman. Like, I'm not really a Batman fan, but when I think of Batman, I associate it with Kevin Conroy's voice because I think it suits very well. So it's kind of cool to see. It's kind of cool to see that he's back.
I'm always excited to hear his voice. The only time I wasn't was during Gotham Knights because his voice does not work with a young, unexperienced Batman. So one time in 22 years isn't a bad track record.
Yeah.
Anything else you folks want to talk about before we begin to wrap?
Nope, not really.
No.
Okay. So yeah, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at DualWorldIn. I believe it's underscored. No, it's DualWorldIn. I think it's a single word on Twitter. I don't know. It's usually in the show notes. find us. You can see how often I use that account. I really need to work on that. you can also find us on Twitter. All of our account information is usually in the show notes. If not, it's Xantar? Is that how you say it?
What?
Zeta. Yeah.
Zeta. I don't know. I've never got the underscore at the end, but I think it's because you also own the original name?
I also own the original name, which for some reason the login didn't work anymore. I suppose it got hacked or something, and I just, and resetting it was impossible. I don't know.
So you're just like, oh, or you still have the original one, so it's not like an imitator running around trying to beat you.
Yeah. I have that problem with Wanyao on PSN. So I had to create, what was it, VVANYAL?
Yeah. I just used an underscore because it was an easy thing to do, didn't change the name very much, and... I hate when people use really long names on Twitter because it takes away from the
characters
you can actually write, so it still keeps it short.
Which is why I've had three different names, because the original one I think was something like 12 characters, which is a lot when you're tweeting, and then the second one didn't really make any sense anymore, so I finally just put my initials there and didn't want to make it any longer than it had to be. Fun fact though, your account still tweets out the ASFM stuff, I guess.
Fine.
So it's still kind of active.
Maybe I should change the LastFM.
No. You should have it to a separate account so nobody else has to see it. I hate when people have auto tweeting stuff like LastFM or Raptor or FaveStar.
But didn't you know? You need to know what everybody else does at all times on the internet. And when it says on a website, link your Twitter account, it's not an option, it's an instruction. You have to do it.
Yeah, of course.
Even then, when I link my Twitter account, I make sure it doesn't post to my Twitter. It's the same reason I make sure stuff doesn't post to my Facebook. I guess it doesn't tell me it's going to Candy Crush Saga. Yeah, that was annoying, because people kept on telling me, and it doesn't show up on my wall that it's posting there. So
I blocked it.
I like Candy Crush Saga, but anyhow. Yeah, so we'll be back next week with hopefully nobody else getting laid off, fingers crossed, and more exciting game news. So for Daniel Martin and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 123-ish.
You found it! The way out, that is.
Okay.